Heavenly Father, I thank you for this this day that you have made, and I thank you for this chance to be with your people, and that we get to once again recount that amazing night so long ago of when you came to be one of us. I pray that as we read Luke's account, as we spend time in your word, please, Jesus, please reveal yourself to us. Please show us in new ways what it means that you are our Savior and Lord of our lives. We give this time to you. May your will be done. I pray this in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. Well, yesterday, Graham and I came to the end of a three-year wait. We've been waiting 3 years, and yesterday it finally happened. Because back in 2012, 3 years ago, there was this announcement made to the entire world that a seventh Star Wars movie was going to be created. And so that was good news and it was bad news. The good news was that a seventh movie was going to be created and we were going to get to see it. The bad news was we were going to have to wait 3 years for it to happen. Well, yesterday it finally came and it was well worth the wait. Now I just can't wait for Graham to stop talking about it. That's what I can't wait for it to have happened. So usually things of importance are worth waiting for, and waiting for the Messiah was no different. So God's people revealed through the pages of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, over and over and over, we find his people having to wait. It's not very often that things happen very quickly in God's timing. From our perspective, there's a lot of waiting that has to occur. And ever since the garden, God's people have actually been waiting, or had been waiting, on the deliverer who would come and crush the serpent's head and free his people from their sins. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophets foretold of his coming. They weren't random guesses. They weren't good guesses. They were the word of the Lord came to Isaiah and said that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son, and he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah foretold that this king would come and reign on David's throne. And then another prophet, about 700 years, right, or about the same time as Isaiah, Micah, predicted that the eternal ruler of Israel would be born in Bethlehem. And so God's people waited for their Redeemer for 700 years. Have you ever waited 700 years for something? Now, some of the circumstances that you may be in may feel like it's a long time. But we know that God always comes through. He's always faithful. He always keeps his promises. Which brings us to the Gospel of Luke. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 today. And it's his famous narrative concerning the birth of Christ. And Luke's account starts with some very important information. He says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And in those days, there was a name that was known throughout the entire Roman world, and it was Caesar Augustus. His name was synonymous with power, authority, and dominion. He and his father were both declared to be divine. And so his official title was Emperor Caesar Augustus, Son of God. He was described as a ruler of all the land and sea. He was described as a great savior of the earth. The people would actually proclaim, Caesar is Lord. During his reign, he brought lasting peace to the Roman Empire. His birth and his rule were heralded to everyone as good news. Son of God, Savior, Lord, good news. Those sound like familiar terms to you? By invoking the name Caesar Augustus, Luke is setting us up for a very stark contrast of kingdoms. He's setting us up for a contrast between the kingdom of fear and the kingdom of love. Luke goes on to add a few more details. He says that this was the second census that took place, or actually the first census that took place during the reign of, or during the governorship of Quirinius, the governor of Syria. He says everyone went to their own town to register. This was a census that took place approximately every 14 years. And it required each person to return to their own hometown so that they could be counted, so that they could be properly taxed. And so not much has changed since those days. Taxes in Syria were in the news then. Taxes in Syria are in the news now. Luke goes on. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. It was approximately a 90-mile trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That would be about the same of us as driving to Kalamazoo. It's about 90 miles. However, their trip was on probably a donkey or a colt, maybe a horse. And, by the way, Mary was pregnant. Bethlehem was the birthplace of King David. And because Joseph was a descendant of David, to Bethlehem they would go to appease Caesar's decree. Luke says that while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to a firstborn, her son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. The long wait was finally over. The rescuer had finally come. And in a feeding trough on the far edge of the empire, Emmanuel, God with us, was born. And he was well worth the wait. God always keeps his promises, always. And at this point, Luke's account, it takes a very unexpected twist. You would think that news of this importance would be taken to people who are important socially. That the most important people would get to hear this news first, but that's not the way God typically works. Instead of starting at the top, as God often does, he started at the bottom. He used simple, ordinary, everyday Joes to carry his message to the world. The birth announcement was delivered to shepherds, and this was very unexpected because shepherds in those days were stinky, smelly, bottom rung of the social ladder kind of people. They were generally regarded as untrustworthy, second class, and they were marginalized in society just like the tax collectors were. Luke says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Now, I've never seen an angel. I don't know if you have or not, except for maybe my wife. But I'm sure that the response of the shepherds would be the same as our response. They were terrified. The glory of the Lord doesn't appear too many times. But in the course of history, when it does appear, it is a showstopper every time. The glory of the Lord appeared in a pillar of cloud to the Israelites, and as a consuming fire and a cloud on Mount Sinai when Moses went to collect the Ten Commandments. The glory of the Lord covered the temple, covered the tabernacle, and it would fill the temple. And this time, the glory of the Lord appeared to the shepherds on the hillside outside Bethlehem. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." And then there's this glorious proclamation, a declaration, a decree of good news that will cause great joy for everyone everywhere. The wait is over. Today in the town that had always been known before as the town that David was born, today it has become the birthplace of someone greater than David. A Savior. The Messiah. The Lord. And those terms were clear markers of divinity. This baby in the manger truly was God with us. And if seeing one angel wasn't enough proof for the shepherds, suddenly thousands of angels appeared with that angel. And they declared, and why don't you say it with me? That way we'll have the angelic kind of sound here. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. It was probably a little louder than that, though. Probably a little bit. And then just as quickly as those angels had come, they were gone. And then the scripture says the shepherds fell back asleep. No, of course not. Who in the world could sleep after something like that? No, what did they do? Luke tells us this. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Isn't it interesting who they give the credit to as far as who the message was from? They didn't say that it's the message that the angels gave us. They said that it's what the Lord has told us about. They knew who it was from. The scripture says this: when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. I don't know how many times you've read this story. Maybe once, maybe 100, maybe more than 100 times. But this time around for me, as I've read it, these last four verses really, really stuck out to me. Maybe it's been our emphasis this last year on my circle of reaching out to those who God has placed in front of us. Please notice the responses of those who were closest to the action. Let's start with the shepherds. Their first response was to spread the word. They went and they told others about what had been told them about Jesus. It doesn't say that they went and spread the word about what they saw. But they went and spread the word about what had been declared to them. And what had been declared to them? Well, it was the good news. The good news that there's a true Savior. The good news that the Messiah for which they had been waiting all these years was finally here. The good news that the one who was coming was bringing peace, and he was Lord. Not Caesar, but Jesus. That was the word that was spread. The second response of the shepherds was to give glory and praise to God. And I pray that our response will be the same. That we will spread the word concerning what has been told us about this child. And that we'll live lives of glory and praise to God. That we'll take this good news, this gospel of peace, and give it to those who are lost in darkness, who need to hear the truth about a Savior who loves them and has come to rescue them. On Friday, after I was done with my job at Blue Jacket, there was a couple of people in my class who needed some help. And so I was trying to help them figure out an answer to a problem that they were having as far as their living situation and with some food and clothes. And in the process, the man mentioned that he was a Muslim. And so I thought, well, I'm going to ask. I said, by the way, why are you a Muslim? And so he told me his story. I wasn't impressed. I was sad. Because in the end of his story, there was simply no hope. It's all a big maybe. It's all a big question mark. And then I got the opportunity to be able to tell him the good news that the angels declared so many years ago. And for the next hour, I was able to share the gospel with he and his girl. I'm hoping, praying, keeping my arms and legs and eyes crossed, that he will put his faith in Christ. On the one hand, when I was talking to him, I couldn't hardly contain it. And I was telling him the story of Jesus. On the other hand, it was very sad for me that his hope is in someone else. Luke also talks about Mary's response. This mother of the newborn Prince of Peace. Mary seems to be a bit more introverted in her response than the shepherds were. It says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. What are these things that she treasured up and pondered? Of course, she was probably mesmerized by the miracle of giving birth to another human. But while the cattle were lowing, maybe she was quietly recalling the events of the last 9 months of her life. The amazing experience that God had taken her on. Because just 9 months previously, she had been sitting in Nazareth and an angel appeared to her and said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him the name Jesus." Maybe Mary was pondering her conversation with Joseph about how she was now pregnant. Or maybe she was treasuring Joseph's gracious response after he himself had been visited in a dream by an angel. Maybe she was deep in thought about what the shepherds had reported to her. Or maybe she was simply thinking about her son's wonderful name, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I pray that our response will be the same as Mary's, that we will treasure, ponder, hold dear, cherish our own encounter with Christ. I pray that you and I will find ourselves continually gripped by the sweet sound of his amazing grace to sinners like you and I. If you once were lost but now are found, then you have much to treasure. If you were blind by sin, but now you can see by the light of Christ, then you have much to ponder in your heart. I don't know why you're here today. Maybe it's tradition, or maybe it's devotion. Maybe you're struggling today with sadness or guilt, or you're overflowing with joy and love. Maybe you're looking for hope and hoping that God hasn't given up on you. Whatever the reason, I am glad that you're here, because God wants you to know that no matter what you're facing, he says this to your situation: do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this Messiah has been waiting for you to put your faith and your hope in him alone. Jesus loves you, and love is the reason why he came. Love is the reason why he took on flesh. The Bible says that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn us, he came to save us. This same Jesus is the good shepherd, the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate, the resurrection, and the life. This Jesus is the true vine. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Some of you are going to have some time off this week, or maybe in the week to come. And maybe your house is going to be as crazy as mine. And what I'm asking for Christmas is some peace and quiet. If you find some peace and quiet, I would encourage you to take some time, either for the first time or for the 100th time, ponder, reflect, treasure this Savior who has been born in Bethlehem. He is the Messiah. He is Lord of all. And for those of you who know this Savior, my prayer is that you would spread the word. That you would go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And for those whose greatest treasure is Jesus, the Lord of glory, I pray that your heart would continually sing these carols of Christmas. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing the wonders of his love. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we have the story of your birth. I thank you for the incarnation, that you came to be one of us. You put on this flesh, that you lived among us, and that you made a way for us to be in relationship with you. I thank you that we don't have to bow our knee to Caesar. I thank you that Jesus is Lord. And so, Father, as we've gathered here today as a family, our individual circumstances, situations, Lord, we need you. It's not all joy. Help us find a reason to praise. And I pray that in the quiet moments, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us. That we would know you better as a result of this Christmas season. I thank you that we can celebrate together here this morning your Lordship. It's in your awesome name that I pray, Jesus. Emmanuel. God with us. Amen.